Father, once more we are sitting in the reality of you sharing, you giving us, and it comes from you, so it's good. And we are able to receive by faith what you're going to share with us. And we want to thank you today that what you're going to share is again going to be life-changing. And we want to thank you as you have taught us about going from glory to glory. You have taught us about grace upon grace. You've been teaching us about the abundant life. And there's so much that we have not yet even began to live in the reality of. But this is the time where by your Holy Spirit you are taking us into all truth, guiding us, helping us to be established. So we come to celebrate, Father, your incredible goodness. And we ask today, by the Holy Spirit, for wisdom, revelation, for truth, for understanding, for just the active work of Holy Spirit upon our lives. But not only us, Father, we want to thank you that we can learn even today what it means to pray in the name of Jesus for our communities, for our nation, and to really enter into a reality of grace as we stand and we pray for so many people. So we want to bless you for what you're sharing, because you love the people of our communities. You love the people in our schools. You love the people all over. And what you're sharing with us is to be able, so many other people, to be able to experience how real you are and for them to be touched. So what a joy to be alive, to be able to reach out and to love people all around us. And we thank you for your heart within us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the incredible transformation within us, that we can have the heartbeat of Jesus. We can experience the Father and his Son reconciling the world back to them, so that the world can know and have a relationship with the incredible, awesome Father. So we thank you for enabling us to be part of something so tremendous, so good. And today we give you the praise and glory, Father, through your Son, Jesus, who's made this real to all of us. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys. I'm probably going to share something that you might not have heard of before, but it is life-changing. And for you to just go and search the scriptures and to really just get an insight to the working of grace when it comes to not only your own life, but when it comes to the town, the city, the communities that God's placed us in, the workplace, wherever, and really begin to enjoy the freedom and the victory when we pray in the name of Jesus. And that's why right from the beginning, it's the centrality of Christ. Right from the beginning, it's about have faith in him, in Jesus. The Father has spoken through his Son, and really understanding that in Christ, how he holds all things together, and everything is through Jesus Christ. And in that is abundant and abundant and abundant, and even more and more and more grace, okay? Because he's full, not partial, he's full of all the grace of God, and God is eternal, so there's a lot of grace. And we're learning how to stay in that. And so today I want to start looking, going a little bit deeper on how do we receive this incredible grace. And we want to spend a little bit of time this morning of just understanding the receiving part of it, and letting that be established. I don't think we'll have time, because there's so much in this over there, but today we might just be on the one section that we'll be looking at over here. Okay, so in Romans 5, we began, and some time back we spent a bit of time in this here, but let's just recap here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and I want to emphasize this morning the relationship with grace and faith, because that's a big part over there. We have been justified through faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So right from the beginning here, we notice here that, remember, God's grace for us as believers, it is God himself who is leaning forwards and giving himself, is giving us a gift of salvation, a gift of himself. But it comes, and this comes through Jesus Christ. But only Jesus came full of grace and truth. Remember, it is Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 14 and verse 16 and 17. It is Jesus that brought the spiritual reality of what God is like, what our Father's like, the fullness of grace. It was Jesus that brought it into our world, so that you and I can experience it, okay? And so here we see straight from the beginning here that as the Father was leaning, when you and I first got born again, for instance, that was God's work, that the Holy Spirit had worked. It had nothing to do with us. We became aware. We became conscious of God. He came real to us. And what took place? We then received it by faith. That faith is a gift from God as well. Grace and faith, it cannot separate. And so here in that there, we received the salvation by faith that God has given us, and we entered into it. So we received the grace. We received the working of God. We received the gift that is found in his son Jesus. We received that gift by receiving it by faith. Okay. And so that's what Paul is writing it right over here. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we are learning now on what does it mean, as I shared last Sunday, what does it mean to stand firm in grace? What does it mean to live in grace? What does it mean to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to come boldly to God, to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and help, etc., in our time of need? And so we've got these incredible scriptures concerning grace, and we are now, by the Holy Spirit, are receiving understanding. We're receiving truth to be able to get understanding, and as the word opens up, to be able to receive what the Holy Spirit is sharing, so that we can enter into the reality of the more grace. It's grace upon grace. It's abundant grace. Okay. And so that's more and more what we'll be looking at for the next few Sundays. Remember in Ephesians chapter 2, that well-known portion of scripture about grace as well. First of all, there, let's draw verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Now, if you're dead, you know that you and I had nothing to do with our salvation. We were dead in sin, okay? dead is dead. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And that was our life. We were obedient to, remember, Satan, he controls the whole world. And we were just obedient to his systems. We were obedient to his ways, his influence, everything. We lived that way as an unsaved person. And the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And remember, sin is disobedience. Sin is lawlessness. So the demonic spirit was at work in all of humanity because of the disobedience to the ways of God. Okay, and we were all like that, none of us. But God, remember, God took us out of that dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. So that's humanity. That's where you and I, that's where we were. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. And this is where the favor comes in, because we were deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, see, and That's important because there's that but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. This is all the work of God. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. So the death of Jesus Christ, we weren't born yet, you know. So the death of Jesus Christ, you and I were included in that death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the time came when the Holy Spirit spoke to us and God's grace was involved in our salvation and we simply believed, okay? And so as John 3:16, for those who believe have eternal life, for those who reject this grace, they did not receive this gift of grace, they're rejecting it, they're saying no to the gift of grace, they stand condemned. Okay, but for us who have received this gift of grace by faith, we now have eternal life. Okay, so that's, we know these things. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. And so this is where we looked at and we spent time last Sunday in understanding that this glorious grace of God, this incredible, remember, the glory of God is his manifest presence. The grace of God is God himself who has given himself. He's helping us. He's enabling us. His involvement in our lives. And so you and I, been born again by the Holy Spirit, we are the display to the world of the reality of God's grace. And we know who we were before we got born again, and we know the work of God in our lives. And so our life is a testimony to the incredible grace of God in our lives and so forth. So for us now to be established in that, more to grow more into the abundant grace of God, the more grace of God, all of that brings glory to the Father, because the world can see in our lives the more and more the fullness of God's grace, the fullness of God's goodness, his mercy, his love, his power, himself in our lives. The fullness of his glory, in other words, being manifested in and through our lives. And that's the testimony, that's the light. That's why we call it the light in a city. We are light in this world because it manifests the grace of God. And so in this grace of God, it's almost like the ultimate display of God's involvement in our lives. And that is why in Romans chapter 8, for instance, we see over there that it is God's will for us to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And all these things that are taking place in our lives is working towards the will of God for us to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. So that, remember, Jesus is full of grace and full of truth, so that the fullness of his grace in our lives is being made known and shown to the world, but not only to humanity, but also to the heavenly realm, as we see over here in Ephesians. So once again, it is by grace you have been saved, and it's through faith. So we received the gift that God is leaning forwards, giving us this incredible gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, and we received it. Okay, receiving is a big part of walking in grace. And that's why we probably look at it maybe later or next week, I'm not too sure. But when we see the humility needed, God gives grace to the humble, because the humble is the person that is not self-reliant. The humble is a person that is totally reliant on God. And when we're reliant on God, we receive We receive his ability, his power. We're receiving the reality of what grace is in our lives. And that's the humility. So when we are proud, as I shared pride last time, pride is when I'm self-reliant. And if I'm self-reliant in my own ability and my own ability to communicate, or my thinking power, or my communication skills, or you know, my good skills with my hands, whatever the case may be, if I'm so reliant on that, that I'm not receiving, then I'm not working with grace. But we will go into that when we look at, for example, of Moses and many examples of folk who show us how to cooperate with grace and to be able to see what God can do when we are reliant on him. Okay, so that is what we were busy looking at, and we're going to continue a bit today. Now, we receive faith. We receive grace by faith. Why is it that the enemy, if you look at the way Satan in Ephesians chapter 6, for instance, over there, we see there that he really comes against the God-given faith that we have, the us being fully persuaded. And that's why right in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, Satan came and he spoke to Eve, and he fully persuaded Eve that what he was saying was the absolute truth, and Eve believed him. So you can see there that this way of Satan will always be to come and to bring doubt, to try and to come against this God faith that you and I have received. Why is that? Because the moment we stop living and walking in faith, we are now moving out of the realm of grace. Very important. And that is why our journey is the righteous live by faith. Okay? Have faith in the name of Jesus. All the time, you and I, as children of God, it's a walk of faith. Because as we walk in faith, we remain in the realm of grace. Okay? And so, for instance, we see that in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 1 and also chapter 3 and chapter 5. Remember that whole thing where Paul is speaking to the body of Christ who had received the gift of grace. And then in verse 6, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and to turn to a different gospel. And this gospel that they were turning to was a gospel that the Jewish folk were coming, you've got to now once again be circumcised. It's all the human effort for salvation. And so they were no longer being persuaded and living in the realm of God's persuasion, divine faith that Christ is the answer. Their life is in Christ and everything is rooted in Jesus. He is their life. They were now being persuaded, no, Jesus is not enough. I've got to now have an alternative plan B in case Jesus is not enough. And so they were no longer walking in faith, and so they were no longer living in this incredible grace. Romans 5, remember, through we've been justified, okay, through Christ Jesus, and we by faith we have entered into this, we have access into this grace in which we now stand. So living in grace, standing in grace, it's the same thing. It's for us to daily, as we walk in faith, to know that we are now experiencing the reality of grace. And I'm sharing this so that as we're walking in faith, we are conscious of the grace of God, so that it helps us to be able to receive. So when we are walking in faith and things are going tough, we can just stop and say, but Lord, I've heard you, you've told me this, I'm walking in faith, and there's grace now to help me to be able to do what you've told me to do. And so, once again, it just opens up, makes us conscious of just receiving God's divine help in our lives. To walk in faith, you've got to walk in grace, or it goes together, because where God is saying and what God is doing, you cannot do it on your own ability. It's beyond our ability. We have to be totally reliant on God to be able to fulfill his promise what he shared with us for our lives and so forth, and for our communities and nations. Okay, so that's where we now. So here, when we look at Romans chapter 4, and this is the example here of Abraham, but I want to share here because Abraham again is the example that Paul is using about the righteousness that it's a gift from God, that's the grace of God, and he received it because he simply believed. It was a pure, simple faith, nothing more, nothing less. Okay, that's the simplicity of this faith that God gives to us. We simply receive it, and then we walk in the manifestation of God's involvement, God's grace. Now look at verse 16. Therefore the promises come by faith, so that it may be by grace. Every promise that God gives to us as believers, every promise, that's God leaning forward, giving us a promise, that's his gift to us. Every promise is a gift to you and I, and we receive it by faith, okay, because it's God's promise, what God's going to do, okay, and we need his grace. That's God's ability to bring that promise, and that's why, for instance, with Mary, remember when the angel came and told Mary about the birth of Jesus Christ, and Mary was saying, but how's this going to work? And the angel explained to her, it's going to work. And then she said, let it be done. That's the humble heart. That's now she's receiving. So the grace, the gift of the child, she's now receiving it. And the angel said there that there's no word of God that will not be fulfilled. Every promise is yes in Christ Jesus. Okay. And so here we notice over here that the promise comes by faith, so that it is may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. So here we see again that the life of faith. And that's why the Holy Spirit began to teach us the difference between a God faith, a religious faith, the human faith, and the demonic faith. Okay, we see the example Satan tries to persuade us to believe a lie, and then we step out of the grace of God. Our human faith, we're strong in our own ability, we're confident in ourselves and what we can do, etc., etc. That's human faith, and it's going to fail because you just get sick and then suddenly there you go. You know, technology breaks and then there we go. So we cannot rely on our own ability to be able to fulfill our divine purpose in life. And then obviously there is the God faith or the religion. The first go to the religious faith, and the religious faith is what Paul is speaking here in Galatians, where now God, Christ is not sufficient. You've got to be doing this, you've got to be doing that, in order to secure your salvation, okay, and to earn brownie points, so that you're going to be good and accepted in heaven. Now you're accepted in Christ Jesus. Okay, it's not your works that you get accepted. It's your faith in Jesus, what he has done. He has done it all. And then there's the God faith. And this God faith, as we see, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the important things that we saw there in Romans chapter 10, and there we saw over there in verse, let me go to verse 16, because it's speaking about the message. And then verse 17, we see consequently faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. And so once again, we see here that this God faith, it's the truth about God, and it's about Jesus Christ. And that's going to play a big role in our lives as we go, because it's through Christ that grace and truth is made known in that. So when we are now realizing, Lord, my life is in you, and whatever I do, I'm doing it in your name, and that revelation is secure, and be walking in that revelation, what takes place over there? It is easier to be able to walk in the God faith. If we're not living our lives surrendered to Jesus, if we're not living our lives, but Lord, what I do today, it's for your glory, and here I am, it's you in me, what takes place, we may hear, and then we're always going to wonder if that was God speaking to me, or wonder if it was that, or wonder, you know, and that. So there's all those doubts all the time that's going through our minds, and that, because whatever God is going to be saying to you and I, it's about the truth about him, but it's found in his son, Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a big part in knowing the genuine faith and any other human faith or hope. You know, sometimes we persuade ourselves in believing what we want to believe. Okay. And so we're learning these things right now. And that is why. But faith comes from hearing the message of God. Now, I want to share something that I'm not sure you may have heard it. You may know it, but I want to just put words to something. A few Sundays back, we started to speak about the difference between little faith and small faith. Little faith is no substance to it. It is full of maybe religious. It's full of you know, confusion. There's no substance in that. There, little faith is God speaking. We hear what he's speaking, but in that faith that we have received from hearing God speak to us about his son Jesus Christ and what this eternal life is, what it is to live in him, what it is to be raised with him, what it is to be seated with him when there are, etc., everything, as the Holy Spirit takes what is Jesus and makes it known to you and I, it may just be one scripture, and it's little in that sense, but it's full of the power of God in that faith. So everything is needed to be able to step into and walk in what you have heard. Now, I've shared that, but let's put grace in that, because grace is in the promise. Grace is in the promise. You see, that is why we saw there in Romans concerning therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. We have to understand that when God gives us a promise, in that promise, it's the fullness of grace that we're receiving. And it's that grace of God that enables us in our weakness. My grace is made incredibly powerful. You see, you experience the power of my grace in our weaknesses. And this is what I want to share, because God has promised you and I so many things. And now he's awakening that, listen, you've got to understand that in that promise, my grace, my all-sufficient grace, my abundant grace is in that promise. Now, why is this important? Well, let's go back to the first promise that we see there concerning after the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Here we see Adam and Eve, they had disobeyed, and God comes and gives them a promise. And he says over there that through your offspring, there's going to be a child that's going to really destroy Satan. Okay, so the first promise of Christ is being shared with Adam and Eve. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 5 quickly. Let me just get to Romans 5. I want you to see this, because in Romans 5, we see over here, and so just as sin reigned, or let's go back to verse 20, the law was brought in so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness. We will look at that as we see how grace works. Grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life. Okay? So we're starting to see something very profound over here concerning the incredible grace of God. I'm just trying to get the scripture over here. But we speak about where sin, and how much all the time that we see here, there's an emphasis here by Paul about the more. So he's sharing the the reality of the consequences of sin, but all the time, but that sin. But let's speak about the more grace, the grace that overcomes the sin. Okay, so let's go back to Adam and Eve. So he makes a promise. What takes place? Sin starts to abound in the world. But there's grace in the promise. So as sin abounds, what happens? Grace abounds even more. So that promise that God gave to Adam and Eve, you know it's going to be fulfilled despite the abundance of sin, despite the abundance of wickedness all around. That word, because it's got God's grace in it, God's ability, it's God himself involved in making sure that that promise is fulfilled, grace abounds even more. And so the fulfillment of that promise is found in Christ Jesus. Okay? There was a judgment, there was the flood all the time. That's part of grace abounding, bringing again a family to continue that promise that contains the fullness of God's grace in it. Okay, and we can go through Abraham. We see with Abraham's life over there, God gives a promise. It's a gift that God is giving them. But in that gift, that in that concerning his seed, concerning Jesus Christ, that gift contains the fullness of God's grace in that gift, in that promise. So we see the life of Israel, and we see over there Israel is sinning and disobeying God and all that taking place over there. But the promise is abounding, because where sin increases, grace increases even more. So nothing, nothing, nothing could snuff that promise out. The increase of sin could not smother that promise. It could not destroy that promise, not at all. Okay, that's why Jesus says he will build his ecclesia and the gates of Hades, whatever, cannot overcome. And so the promises of God is so important for you and I to begin to understand that what God has promised you and I, in that promise comes the package of grace. It's in that promise. Okay, so we can look at David's life. Here's a good example. God promised David that on his throne, we see the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And that, look how David messed up. Look at the family. Look at the bloodline. Look at what took place over there. But the promise had grace in, where sin was increasing all the time. That promise continued because grace abounds even more than the wickedness of humanity. Okay, so let's get back to you and I. What promise have you received from God? When this, as the Holy Spirit opens us up to realize, but God, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to lose my temper. I'm going to go into unbelief. I'm going to blah, 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 etc. And be a bad testimony, and I'm going to blow it, etc. Stop. Stop straight away. Because the promise that God has given to you, in that, despite all of your sort of sinfulness, grace abounds even more. See, and that is why we are free of ourselves. We are free. The gift is a gift. It's a grace gift that we receive by faith. And that gift contains the fullness of God's power, his ability, his involvement to make sure that that promise becomes a reality in one's life, despite the wickedness. Okay, and so when we come in the name of Jesus, when we're speaking, because remember, prayer is relational with God, it's communication. When we're coming in the name of Jesus, we are, he, grace comes through him. So when we, in the name of Jesus, we come, Father, we are now enter, we now standing firm in the reality of God's abundant grace flowing into our lives. How do we stand firm? So when the enemy is trying to persuade us, when we become conscious of all our faults, etc., we stop straight away, we renew our mind to the fact, but in you, Jesus, I want to thank you that my old man has been crucified I'm a new creation in you. So we're renewing our mind to the truth. We're standing firm. We're being established. We are living in the realm of grace. And we're appropriating it all the time, knowing that despite everything, and I'm still going to mess up in tomorrow and the next days, despite all of that there, God's grace abounds more than my mistakes. Okay, and that's huge for us to begin. So now, when we look at our towns that we live in, we look at the workplaces we work in, we look at our nation, when we see the increase of wickedness, you've got to know as a child of God, grace abounds more than the wickedness operating in a town. So when you're praying for your town, your communities, when you're praying for your nation, and you understand how the increase of wickedness, but you understand, but grace abounds more, you now can come in the name of Jesus. And depends on the faith and the revelation that Jesus, that the Father has given you. That's why for me, all I have to do is just come, Jesus, I speak your name in the throne room because abundant grace for my nation comes through you. And wickedness is increasing, but your grace increases even more. And so what's happening? By faith, I'm receiving the abundant grace that is in Christ Jesus for a nation that's living in wickedness. See, now, as I receive the promises God has given me, that's why when you pray for a nation, get a promise from God. What has God spoken to you about South Africa? That word contains the fullness of grace for you to receive and to walk in faith. Okay, don't just copy someone else's revelation because there's no faith over there. Get what God is saying for the nation, for your town. Don't just copy someone else's there and that. Come and say, Father, show me, give me a word for my town. Give me a word for my community. Give me a word for my school. Give me a word for my workplace. Give me a word. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and that's what you're doing. You're not just living. You're in the kingdom. You're a citizen of the kingdom. So you and I, we get a word for the realm that you and I are living in, whatever town, whatever the village, or whatever the city, whatever, you know, the nation we are. Now, we get that word. And that promise that God gives, you know that no matter how wicked and how evil things come around you, grace abounds even more. But it needs you and I to be able to walk in faith, to understand the revelation of God's grace, to be able to receive it for a nation, to be able to receive it for a community, to be able to receive it for our families, and to begin to be established in this reality of God's abundant grace. Guys, this is life-changing. When we in our own families, when you walk in town, you will notice over there because you become very conscious of the evil and the wickedness. Remember in Ephesians chapter 2, all are taken prison by Satan, been taken captive. Everybody is just living for their own selves, indulging in the flesh, satisfying the flesh. Or sin abounds, but God's grace abounds even more. Let's pray for our communities, understanding how God's grace is more than enough to deal with the people that are trapped still, so that they can be saved and born again, okay, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and you and I cooperating with the grace of God. And but we will look at that in weeks to come, how to cooperate with the grace of God. So I want to leave it there. We won't do the rest this morning, but I trust that when you just spend time and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and know that what God has spoken to you in that word is the fullness of grace. So in our weaknesses, His grace is sufficient to make sure that that promise becomes a reality. It's He who is watching over what He has spoken. And that's why I close with this incredible scripture that we've looked at some time back again. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Powerful, eh? Grace comes through Jesus. Our faith in Jesus, we stay in the realm of grace. As we walk in a surrendered life, a yielded life to Jesus, we stay there. How do you know when you're drifting out of the realm of grace? It's when we start to become anxious, we start to become, you know, we start just to, you find there that the old ways and the old self-centeredness starts to come awakened. Then you and I know, whoopsie. Those are warning signs by the Holy Spirit to say, no, get back and stand in grace. That's the realm you're in Christ Jesus, and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit at work. Well, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And through him, the amen is spoken. That's the faith statement. The amen is spoken to us to the glory of God. And it is now, it is God who makes us and you stand firm. That's the reality of grace. So the promise God gives, it's his grace that enables us to be able to stand firm in his son Jesus. Okay? He anointed us. That was, he did it. He set his seal of ownership on us. He put his spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is all the work of God. This is the reality of staying in his grace. So you can say amen to what God has spoken to you. And you know that God, despite me, that's going to come through because of your grace. Believe, receive the grace today by faith. Shake off all the human failures that you have done. Shake off all that stuff of maybe I've missed it, maybe this, and if I had done this. Shake all that stuff off. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And simply receive a new beginning. Today, Father, you have spoken to me through your word that your grace is in that I receive your grace now. I'm totally reliant on you. And now teach me to cooperate with you in this grace as we journey together, as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's have the communion and celebrate the grace of God that is, comes to us in his son, Jesus Christ. Celebrate the promises that God has given to you. Because you know, no matter what, they're coming true. They're going to be fulfilled because of God's grace, not your ability. It's because of God's grace and your faith in him and receiving it and walking in faith and just responding to how the Holy Spirit leads you throughout your day-to-day lives. Okay, so, Father, we come together this morning again as a family and just want to, first of all, thank you. As you have given yourself to us in the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your ability, for your help. We want to thank you for what grace is all about as your Holy Spirit opens up the incredible depth of your grace. And we thank you for that. But today, Father, what a joy to know that in each and every one of our lives have you have spoken. May have been a long time ago, doesn't matter, but you have spoken and we know that when you spoke to us, we believed and we received that word that you gave to us. But today we thank you that in that word is the fullness of your grace. And we thank you for that gift, that promise, that gift you've given to us. But today it may be just a moment of just removing all the dust of confusion and the worldliness that has sort of contaminated our hearts and minds, etc., by your grace. And we just receive, Holy Spirit, your ministry right now in just washing away through the blood of Jesus the stuff that has just confused us. And so that once again our eyes are opened and we are now able to just to know this is the way to walk in it as you lead us. Ask for healing of Jesus in you as we partake with your blood, we partake with your body, healing of disappointments, healing of rejection, healing of pain, healing of the warfare when it comes to faith and the conflict that we go through when we come to faith and walking with you, and the persecution and the mind battle and all those kind of things. And today we just receive today for you to just sit with us, Lord, and just to let your life just flow and bring healing, and once again imparting faith, hope, love, just letting that rise up within each and every one of us. And I thank you as you minister to us, as we just eat with you and drink together with you, Lord, we receive your ministry this morning. Amen. So I just enjoy and receive the ministry of Jesus.